From KERA in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. You can also email us your questions and answers. Our email address, of course, anything@kera.org. You can tweet me as well, at Jeff Whittington on the Twitter. It's Friday, the 24th of July. That means we're 7 months through the year here. Nearly. We got one more Friday in July, right? And we're taking your questions and answers live today, 800-933-5372. Starting off from the inbox, Randy in Lakewood/Old East Dallas says, when I walk up to an average convenience store or other small business that has two doors at the entrance or exit, usually only one of them is unlocked. Why is that? Is there a reason that the business owners won't want only one of their two doors unlocked during business hours? He asks. 800-933-5372. Vlad writes, Texas drivers are required to use the turn signal before changing lanes to warn other drivers of their intentions. How long or far in advance should a driver use his or her turn signal before changing lanes in the state? Is there a specific minimum amount of time, distance, or even number of flashes before you're allowed to make a lane change? The reason I ask is due to the increasing number of cars produced, which include automatic three-blink turn signal technology, which allows the driver to tap for three blinks turn signal operation instead of fully engaging the signal lever for continuous signaling. However, Vlad says, it seems to me that three blinks or flashes is not sufficient for making a lane change, let alone a full-on turn onto another street. So Vlad just wonders, is there a rule? Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. While we're getting around, Roy in Fort Worth writes, I don't have a smartphone, but I want to know, can I use Uber and or will it work on my home desktop PC? Somebody's tried Uber over the desktop. Give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. One more before we go to the phones here. Kristen says, Paco and John's, our favorite restaurant in Fort Worth, recently closed. And Kristen says, this delightful place served Mexican food during the week and French food on the weekends. Does anyone know where the head chef will be working next? 800-933-5372 is the telephone number, and that's where we find Bill calling from Fort Worth. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Jeff. Glad to be on again. I had a question. You know, all the toll roads popping up around North Texas. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, who's in charge of making a road a toll road or not? And how do you influence that decision if you maybe don't like that we're going to pay for these roads twice?
All right. Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you, Jeff. Right.
Line open, 800-933-5372. And that's where we talked to Bob in Dallas. Hello, Bob.
Jeff, how are you?
Doing well.
Jeff, a few weeks ago, you had a remark or comment talking about the use of the automobile horn.
Right.
Well, later that day, while driving home, there's a two-way stop. I had the right-of-way. This gentleman ran the stop sign completely through the lane, and I stopped, put my hand on the horn. He backed up to make eye contact and make the friendly wave to me, and he sat there for a minute, and I sat there for a minute with my horn going. And he looked none too happy about the whole thing.
Right. Well,
but he finally took off.
Sure. Well, I'm sorry that happened, Bob. I know that we were talking about the question we got was, what's the best way to deal with a distracted driver? And we were talking about the friendly tap on the horn, right? The friendly tap on the horn. And I actually had a similar situation, not similar to yours, but, you know, the whole, you're stopped at the red light and there's someone in front of you and the light turns green and everybody goes, but they don't go. And I, you know, I gave, this is after our conversation. I felt empowered to use the friendly tap of the horn. I friendly, in a friendly manner, tapped on the horn and the driver waved at me and drove on. So, sorry you had that situation, Bob, but thanks for calling. Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Mark calling from Dallas. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks so much.
You bet.
With regards to the signal, you know, requirements for a lane change versus a turn, going all the way back to driver's ed, which was a while back, I do recall that the mandatory requirements for a turn were that you initiate the signal 200 feet before the turn and in whichever direction. And for a lane change, it needs to be, I don't think there's a requirement, but it is definitely at least a, you know, all of the, you know, the lane change settings on the flashers that I have on the cars that I own are about 3 seconds worth of signals before you make the change. So,
all right.
Don't know if that helps.
Thanks.
Good luck.
Thanks, Mark. Lines wide open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. You can also send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. That's what Juan did. He says, for the question of the turn signal, Juan says the DPS driver handbook states at least 100 feet is needed before a turn. And Juan says that's on chapter 6, page 42. We also got an email from Scott in Denton at anything at kera.org who says, from the Texas Transportation Code, section 545.104, signaling turns or use of turn signals. This is just copied here, thanks to Scott. An operator shall use the signal authorized by section 545.106 to indicate an intention to turn, change lanes, or start from a parked position. B, the operator intending to turn a vehicle right or left shall signal continuously for not less than the last 100 feet of movement of the vehicle before the turn. So Scott says the questioner's answer is 100 feet. So I guess, you know, when you pull up at a stop sign or a stop light and then decide to turn your signal on, you're technically in violation. You should have made that decision at least 100 feet before you get to the intersection. Oh, but I remembered I needed to stop at the store. just be nice. Do me a favor. Be nice to each other out there. There's enough going on, right? 800-933-5372 is the phone number. Email address anything at kera.org. And I'm at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's see. Mike sent us an email, anything at kera.org. Where did the expression cash on the barrel head come from? I would have to think that it might have been when a barrel was something that was in a shop, in a proprietor's shop, or maybe at an auctioneer's stand, and was just something that was, you know, part of the furniture, so to speak, of daily life, and you put your cash on the barrel head when you wanted to pay. But we'll see if someone has a smarter answer than me, which is usually the case. And then we got a question from Tim at anything at kera.org. And Tim says, with the heavy rains this spring, the Irving Campion Trail was flooded for most of the month of June. He says, over the last several weeks, the floodwaters have receded and significant portions of the trail are once again passable. Standing water near the trail area has attracted many water birds, and the area is really quite nice to visit. Earlier this week, Tim says, I was disappointed to find that the pedestrian access points to the trail had been barricaded and authorized personnel only signs have been erected. Does anybody know why this valuable public space is being restricted instead of being reopened? He says, as a cyclist, I can say that any hazards that may currently exist on the trail pale in comparison to those that exist on the surrounding roadways. Does anybody know why this area has been closed? Give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org or send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's talk next to Lynn in Fort Worth. Hello, Lynn.
Hi.
Hey there.
I was wondering when Silver Creek Road, the bridge on Silver Creek Road, would be opening. They have signs up to say it will open in the spring of 2015. It is now almost the end of summer.
And where is this exactly?
It's on the west side of Fort Worth.
Okay. So the Silver Creek Road Bridge. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll see if somebody knows.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Lynn.
Stay with us. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. We got a question last week about resume writing help. And this is from John, who says, my suggestion to the caller who emailed asking about resume writing help, there are many free job networking groups all over the North Texas area that offer free resume workshops, improvement suggestions, etc. John says, I'm a job hunter myself these days, and I can vouch for two groups that offer this valuable free service. The Career Transition Workshop at Park City's Baptist Church. He says, I believe the group still meets Tuesday evenings at 6. So check out Park City's Baptist Church and their Career Transition Workshop. And he also suggested Careers in Motion at Watermark Church up on LBJ between Hillcrest and Coit. It's called Careers in Motion at Watermark Church. And he says those meetings are Tuesdays from 9 to noon, and newcomers meet at 8. So thanks, John, very much for that email. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Hannah in Dallas. Hello, Hannah.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just had a quick question. I have recently started driving on the 75 in rush hour traffic, and have noticed that, especially on Fridays, it seems that there's an aircraft that kind of circles around above the 635-75 interchange. And I wondered if that was a drone or if that was, I was just kind of curious as to what that might be.
Is it a fixed wing aircraft or is it a helicopter-like aircraft?
It's not a helicopter. It looks smaller than a normal airplane, but the reason I noticed it is because I just see it circling, not really going anywhere in particular.
It's not the KERA traffic drone, because I'd be able to tell you if we have one of those.
Okay.
I think that drone flying for commercial purposes is still on the do not do this list from the FAA.
Okay.
But we'll see if somebody else has seen it. Maybe somebody knows. You've hopefully called the right place.
Okay, great. Right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Saud in Plano. Hello, Saud.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing well.
So this is in regards to the toll road question, how they're formed or how they come that way. Funny enough, I actually looked up the exact same question a couple months back. And so what I found was it's built up as a business proposition to the city or state as to take care of the roads, to build them and maintain them for a set amount of time. In exchange, the company, for example, the NTTA that built President George Bush Toll Road or Dallas North Tollway, they end up with the rights to more or less own that highway and to get all the revenue from the toll for a set amount of time. I think Dallas North Tollway was set for about 20 years, and it expired a couple of years back, but the city decided to renew it and continue letting NTTA run it and get revenue from that toll booth.
Very good. Well, thanks so much for calling.
No problem.
All right. We also got an email from Stephen who says the Regional Transportation Council at the North Texas Council of Governments allocates federal and state dollars regarding road development and toll road public-private partnerships. And he says meetings are the second Thursday of every month. You can access the agenda at the NTCOG, the North Texas COG website. Stephen writes us from Mansfield, Texas City Council, and says he also sits on the RTC as a representative, Stephen Lindsay. Stephen, thanks so much for emailing that information. We'd love to hear from you. Anything at kera.org, at Jeff Whittington on Twitter or on the phone. Reach out and call us, 800-933-5372. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Anything you ever wanted to know on KERA. I'm Jeff Whittington. Phone number is 800-933-5372. If you can't get through, email us anything at kera.org or send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. That's what Franklin did. He says, I have a garage door that needs a panel replaced in addition to assembly parts that attaches to the lift. Where can I get parts for a garage door? Let's see, from the email inbox, we heard from JB, who says, I believe Paco and John in Fort Worth closed only due to choosing not to renew their lease at the old location. This listener says, I've heard that they are currently looking for a new location still in the Magnolia Medical District, but the exact spot has yet to be determined. JB says, please tell the listener to stay tuned to anything you ever wanted to know, and I will update you as soon as I hear more if someone else hasn't by then. Thanks, JB, for that. Larry in Fort Worth says, in regard to cash on the barrel head, the barrel holds the merchandise to be purchased, and the buyer doesn't get the merchandise until he or she pays up front on the barrel head. So there's where that comes from. And Matt in Dallas wants to know, if anyone has a solution to permanently remove kudzu from a chain link fence. Anybody have any tips on removing kudzu from a chain link fence? 800-933-5372. Let's see. Let's go back to this one and talk to Alan in Garland. Hello, Alan. Did that sound about right to you?
Yes, not quite.
Okay.
It more relates to a time when in the Old West, especially when they're building the railroads, mm-hmm. and often the little towns that sprang up, a bar would be nothing more than a tent, and the bar itself inside would be a couple barrels with a board laid across to act as a serving area. And the requirement was, since a lot of these guys may or may not have the money, that they put the money up front and throw it down on the barrel to show that they're paying for their drink.
Yeah, you didn't run a tab back in those days, right?
No.
And you bought it by the bottle, too. You just buy your whole bottle of whiskey.
Well, most of those, they might have bottles, but they might just have barrels of beer.
That's true, too, yeah. Okay. Well, hey, Alan, thanks for calling.
Not at all.
There's a great show, and I can't remember what network it was on, but Hell on Wheels, that sort of, you know, was of that time period. Although the soundtrack is much, much, much more contemporary. Let's talk next at 800-933-5372 to Anna in Denison. Hello, Anna.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey there.
My question is about a tree that I saw recently while I was at South Padre Island. It's very similar to our mimosa trees. The leaves are exactly like that, except the top of the tree, instead of being pink, is a beautiful red. And I just, the people there couldn't even tell me what they were. So I just wondered if anybody knew, because surely they would grow here.
Yeah, all right. Well, we'll see. You saw it in South Padre.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see if somebody has an idea.
Thank you.
All right. You bet. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. We got an email from Ben who says, regarding that turn signal question, the question might be about the letter of the law, but I think there's an important aspect to the spirit of the law that's often overlooked by drivers. Ben says, the point of signaling before a turn is to allow other drivers to have advanced warning of your turn or lane change. Much of the value is lost if the driver applies their brakes before applying the turn signal. My suggestion is that drivers should signal a few seconds before braking to allow following drivers enough time to evaluate a lane change or perhaps remove their foot from the accelerator pedal to minimize unnecessary braking and slowdowns in the turn lane. All right, Ben, well, there. Your suggestion has been published. Thanks for emailing us. And let's see. We got an email from Fort Worth who this listener says, in many, if not most, of the older restaurants, there is a pass-through from the kitchen to the make-ready prep area where they put the final touches on the plates before they go out. These pass-throughs are built with the opening about waist-high up to chest-high, so the waiter has to bend over to see into the kitchen and communicate with the kitchen staff. Why are they built like this instead of at shoulder or eye level? Could this have something to do with antiquated health department regulations or some other obscure reason? Does anybody know why they build the pass-throughs so the waiter has to bend over? 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org, or you can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Raj in Plano. Hello, Raj.
Yeah, hey, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well.
My question is, the power went off in my home, and it came back in less than like 5-6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came back, few of the electronic equipment literally fried. The smoke came out from them, so it kind of fried. And my question is the electric company anywhere responsible for this, or is it just on me? Like, I got to fix it or repair it or buy new.
Everything was just going fine. The power went out, and then it came back on with a surge, and it burned the circuits.
Yeah, now my modem is down. Modem literally, right. The smoke came out. The desktop computer, the smoke came out from the monitor, and the TV is not working for some reason. I don't know what's wrong. So now, all said and done, I'm thinking close to like $3,000-$4,000 if I had to put everything new or call. But anyway, I'm just,
sure.
My question is the electric company somehow partially or in part or whole responsible for this surge?
Yeah, do you have any recourse with the power company? We'll see what the listeners say.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thanks for calling. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Akela in Burleson. Hello, Akela.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing well.
Well, I had a question. My husband and I are taking a trip to Italy, and we're traveling to Rome and Florence and Assisi, and we will be on a guided tour, but we're going to have some downtime to ourselves while we're there. And I've checked out some things on the internet, but I was wondering if any of your listeners have been and if there's any really cool spots we should try to visit when we have downtime.
Well, these are the most popular kinds of questions we get on the show. So you've asked, and we'll see if we get some suggestions for you.
Thank you.
When are you going?
We are leaving on Monday.
Wow,
and we're
going
to be gone for about 8 days.
Okay. Have you been before?
No, I've never been to Italy, but I've always wanted to go. So my son was given an opportunity to play on a collegiate USA team in an international tournament over there, so we're all going.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Well, congratulations to him and to you, and it sounds like a great trip. We'll see if we get some suggestions for you.
Well, thank you very much.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's see. We got an email from Eric. He says, I have an answer on why the Campion Trail is closed to the public. During the floods in June, the wastewater lines ruptured and contaminated the park and the surrounding bodies of water, such as Lake Carillon. The city of Irving issued an order to the public to avoid the trail and all bodies of water in the Las Colinas area at Riverside Northwest Highway to prevent any illness or infection. So there's an answer on why the Campion Trail is closed. Let's see. Steve says, I'm getting a head start on winter, and I have many small oaks that I've grown from acorns. Can I keep these potted through the winter, or do I need to plant the pots so that the saplings' roots won't freeze? Does anybody know what Steve should do with those oak seedlings? And Cheryl says, kudzu has tubers that are almost impossible to kill. To eradicate, you need to dig them up. Kudzu is edible, and you may want to look up recipes. And let's see. We've got a flood of emails here. Virginia says that tree in South Padre is called a poinciana tree, P-O-I-N-C-I-A-N-A, a poinciana tree. So there's a few answers for y'all that were waiting on a couple of these. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Tony in Dallas. Hello, Tony.
Hi.
Hey there.
I was just wondering if anybody knew when the new Walmart is going to open at the corner of LBJ and Midway Road.
Well, you know, I think we had this question last week, and because it's been delayed or something, and there was some disagreement among the listenership about whether it was because it was built too close to the easement or whether there were some plumbing issues. So I don't know that we got an answer on when. So that's a new question. But we did get an answer on why it had been delayed. I think it's the same location you're talking about. But we'll see if we get an answer on when.
Okay, thanks so much.
You bet.
Bye. 800-933-5372.
Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. This is from Gabriella, who says, regarding those kitchen windows, they're usually at about 4.5 feet. This allows the kitchen staff space above the window. There are usually 3-foot-high refrigeration and kitchen tables to elevate the plate from the table to the window. If the window was lower, it would be unsightly. If the window was higher, it would likely obstruct short people in the kitchen and items that are usually hanging above that window. And most importantly, it alleviates excessive movements in an already busy kitchen. So that's why they put them somewhere between waist and chest high. And then we got an email from Richard who asks, to what degree of earthquake resistance are our bridges built here in DFW? We've had an increase in earthquakes here in North Texas, and the new bridge under construction on I-30 near downtown Dallas has me wondering if there's some sort of seismic tolerance built in to the bridges. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org, or you can send me a tweet at Jeff Whittington on Twitter. Let's talk next to Dan calling from Garland. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well.
So I had a question regarding hybrid vehicles and electric vehicles. So with the development of highly, you know, efficient supercars like the McLaren P1 and the Porsche 918 and all these developments of these hybrid vehicles, what's actually more environmentally friendly? Using highly efficient internal combustion engines or using electric vehicles? Because in the aftereffect, don't we still have to recycle and just, you know, dispose of all these highly toxic electric batteries?
Yes, and the other issue with electric or hybrid vehicles is the power generation is usually through coal burning.
Okay.
You know, when you plug your electric car in to recharge it, it's clean right there, you know, because you're not running a gas engine when you drive around the city. But there's usually sometimes natural gas and to a degree some wind generation. I think probably very little solar still here in Texas. Some wind, some natural gas, but mostly coal. So that's been one of the issues that's been raised about the move to electric vehicles. But it's a good question. We'll see if somebody knows, you know, where we can find the numbers because, you know, surely somewhere there's a report. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Speaking of electricity, let's go back to the phones and talk to James in Dallas. Hello, James.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I had an answer for the gentleman who had a question about electric discharge in his house, and I am an insurance agent here locally. Most of the time, the electric company is going to push that liability onto the homeowner or the tenant and basically tell them, you know, deal with it on your end. It's not our problem. I would encourage him to talk with his insurance professional as, depending on what kind of homeowner's policy he has, there's probably some kind of coverage for electrical discharge.
So the electric company is going to say you should have had a surge protector in place
exactly
between the power outlet and your, you know, your valuable or expensive electronic equipment.
Point.
But
if
you might
you read
have
the
a,
terms of service from the electric company and the provider, like Encore or whoever it is, it's between the actual provider and and the customer. Their terms of service is going to have a lot of things in there that basically make it where they're not responsible for anything.
So, but you're right. Your homeowners or even renter's insurance may have some level of coverage, at least partial coverage on that kind of thing. So call your insurance agent.
Yep.
Great. James, thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Kevin says, I'm not sure about any recourse through the electric company. Same question here. But several surge protectors come with guarantees that if anything you own is damaged while plugged in, the company will replace the items. I suggest the caller check to see if the brand of surge protectors he was using have that guarantee. So, yeah, if our listener was plugged into a surge protector, you might check and see if you've got some recourse there. Let's see. Andy says via email, I have a Carver amplifier that has a blown channel. Anybody in town repair vintage audio gear? Give us a call, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org or tweet me at Jeff Whittington. That's what Sherry did. Regarding the question about the kudzu, Sherry says, get a goat. They have been deployed across the Deep South to combat kudzu infestations. You know, I read somewhere that goats are being used to combat poison ivy infestations. So correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, and then there's, you know, they make milk and stuff too, right? So you could get into the cheese business. 800-933-5372. You think I'm joking, right? It's been discussed at my house. Let's go back to the phones on this same question. Let's talk to Diane in Plano. Hello, Diane.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey there.
The tweeter just responded on the kudzu issue was about the goats, but it sounds like internet lore, but I think I have a friend in the South, and they actually have goats for rent that you can contract the goats to come in and help clean up. So you don't have to necessarily buy the goat and maintain it, but you can use the goat for kudzu removal.
Is that do we think that's happening here in North Texas? Somebody's going to have to look and see and let us know, because
I imagine this was more Georgia area and stuff like that, where it really is a widespread problem.
Well, I saw a story, and this may have been a year ago or so, but I saw a story about goats being brought in to do the side of the highway clearing up in Seattle. So this is something that, you know, on those steep sort of highway embankments, this is a trend. So maybe somebody is, maybe there's a enterprising goat herding entrepreneur here in North Texas. So we'll see if we can find out.
Okay, bye.
All right, thanks for calling. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything@kera.org. You can also send me a tweet. I'm @JeffWhittington on Twitter. If you got a question, if you got an answer, reach out to us. Either way, stay with us. A whole other segment of your questions and your answers coming up in about 2.5 minutes. It's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know on KERA, Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, Texas. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Email address anything@kera.org. You can also send me a tweet @JeffWhittington on Twitter. Paul emailed us and says the Walmart at Midway and LBJ is set to open August 6th. So there's an answer on that. Let's see. We got a question from Nancy, who asks, when one is on the major thoroughfare making a left turn from the left turn lane, does a driver entering the thoroughfare from a business's parking lot have the right of way to pull out in front of the driver on the major thoroughfare? A police officer told me the parking lot departing driver had the right of way since the other driver was making a left turn. This doesn't seem correct, though. If you have any suggestion for Nancy or an answer on that. And we got an answer on the efficient, eco-friendly vehicles question from Mike in Dallas, who says, of course, the most efficient vehicle is the bicycle. From fuel generation to end use, the best motorized vehicle would be hydrogen-powered vehicle, with the hydrogen generated by solar energy. He says solar energy generating stations would last longer than wind turbines and not require as much recurring maintenance, and there's no battery disposal problem to speak of. So there's some answers on what could possibly be the best solution for transportation. Thanks, Mike. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Annette calling from Dallas. Hello, Annette.
Good afternoon.
Same to you.
My question is, I think every resident of the city of Dallas who lives in a home is required to have an annual renewal of a fire alarm permit for their house. And I have looked on all the spaces in the city of Dallas, and I cannot find a place that tells me how often it needs to be renewed and where to apply for the application.
Okay. And do you have on your burglar fire alarm system, do you have a monitoring company?
I do. That's the issue. If you have a monitoring on it, the city will not respond unless they have this permit in place.
Right. But it seems like if everybody has to have it, it should be something that's pretty straightforward,
that's
right?
That's true, too.
Have you talked
to
your...
I have a master's degree, and I have, and I've talked to my city council person,
right?
And I have not yet gotten a response.
Have you talked to your monitoring company? Because I don't know if that's something... Isn't that something that they would help take care of for you?
I think it's... I have to apply for that through the city of Dallas.
Okay.
But I don't see any place to apply.
Okay. Well, we'll see if we get an answer for you, Annette.
Now, may I give someone my email address and they can respond to me on my email?
You'll have to listen to the show, Annette. If we tried to respond to every single person's question with emails, we wouldn't have time to do anything else,
all
as
right.
you can imagine.
Okay.
So stay tuned. We'll see if we get an answer for you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Ben calling from Dallas. Hello, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
I have a suggestion for the woman going to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
If she's in Rome and has some downtime, I would recommend taking a train down to Pompeii and touring the ruins of the city that was covered up by Mount Vesuvius. It's about an hour and a half to 2 hour train ride one way. But incredible experience.
Great. Hey, Ben, thanks for the tip.
Okay, thanks.
We also got a couple of emails on this. This is from Amy, who says, pre-buy your tickets to the Colosseum, the Vatican, and the museums in Florence. It will save you hours in the heat, and it's a great to bypass the crowds. You can buy online, and in Florence, there's a church with a walk-up window to buy tickets to the museum. It was amazing to buy the tickets without a wait, then walk a few blocks and get ahead of the hour-long lines. Look for details in Rick Steves' books. So that's from Amy. Thanks for that. We also got an email from Brian, who says, I just got back from Rome and Florence. In Rome, my favorites were a trip to the top of the monument to Victor Emmanuel. The entrance is around the left side as you look at the monument. He says it was $7 to take the elevator to the top. Castel San Angelo, which is Hadrian's tomb. It says if it won't freak you out, check into the Capuchin crypts. And the Church of St. Peter in Vincoli was very impressive, too. He recommends the Medici Chapel in Florence. He says most everything's going to be on your tour in Florence, probably, but if it's not, the Medici Chapel he recommends as well. Let's see. We got a tweet at Jeff Whittington, by the way, from Ed, who says, there was a hill of kudzu at Sylvan and Fort Worth Avenue next to the Belmont Hotel that was done in by goats. And yes, there are goat weed eaters here in Dallas. Let's see, on the Italy question, Nancy says, I'd recommend she look into Rick Steves' Europe through the back door and or Rick Steves' Hidden Europe. I've not been where she's going in Italy, but she'll probably get some good info on Italy, which is included in both of these books. And you know what? You can read them on the plane as you're on your way, because you've probably got a long flight ahead of you on Monday. So there's a couple of suggestions there. Back to the phones at 800-933-5372 is Alan in Dallas. Hello, Alan.
Hello, Jeff.
Hey there.
I work for a vegetation management company, and concerning the question of kudzu,
yeah.
Short of a goat, there's a herbicide called Garlon, G-A-R-L-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
You'd need to have a commercial license to apply that, though, but that would certainly take care of the kudzu. And I do work in some rural areas, and goats do work. So there you go.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Let's see. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Chris in Dallas. Hello, Chris.
How you doing?
Doing well.
I was calling to give an answer about the bridges and also on the buildings that are built in Dallas.
Yeah.
As far back as the 70s, the buildings were built. A lot of the high-rise buildings are built with coil springs up under them to adjust, to simulate high winds and also to account for earthquakes. And also the bridges are built in a way and designed for the weight and the sheer amount of traffic, also ensuring up to a 6.0 earthquake as far as the stability.
Very good, Chris. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. We got an email from Luke to anything@kera.org about electric car and battery toxicity. Luke says, some electric cars use less toxic lithium batteries. They don't have heavy metals in them like Tesla and the Nissan Leaf. Older hybrid models like the Prius have nickel-cadmium batteries, which can be pretty bad for the environment. Also got an email from Paul in Dallas who says, I recently heard on NPR that Texas's use of coal for electricity generation just fell below 50%. The low cost of natural gas and the increased use of wind were the major reasons. So there's some new information on that. Thanks very much for that email. And Guy in Grand Prairie says, in these summer days, ice cream trucks troll the neighborhood while playing their tunes to attract customers. Questions. How do they get this permission to do business this way? Do they have noise restrictions? And are there any areas changing this seemingly outdated concept? Anybody know any answers to that series of questions around ice cream trucks from Guy? And Harold and McKinney says, a hybrid car is fully powered by gas. The electricity is generated by the gas engine. It only uses the electric motor to assist the gas engine. That is, you are absolutely correct, Harold. Harold says a plug-in hybrid can charge either from the gas engine or by plugging into an outlet and can run only on electric power until the battery is discharged. You can subscribe to wind power through your electric provider, and the electrons that you get from your outlet may be from a coal or natural gas plant, even if you signed up for wind power. But when you sign up for wind power, the money you are billed is used to buy power from a wind farm and to expand wind power generation. So, Harold, thanks so much for that email. Let's go back to the phones here, 800-933-5372. And let's talk to Mary, calling from DFW. Hey, Mary.
Hey, I'm calling to answer about the closing of the restaurant Paco and John's in Fort Worth. That was the brainchild of Bernard, who owns San Emilion Restaurant, and which is a French restaurant, and he saw that most of his staff was Hispanic. That's why he opened Paco and John, so they could cook Mexican food during the week and French on the weekend. San Emilion is still running, and I would suggest your caller go there, talk to Bernard about the next concept.
Very good. Mary, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
Up next at 800-933-5372 is Ivy in Dallas. Hello, Ivy.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Hi, I just had a quick answer for the young lady who wanted the permit for her fire alarm.
Yeah.
I have an alarm system that has for fire and burglar, and I have to go downtown Dallas to City Hall. It's on the second floor. You know, you used to go through regular business hours, and they'll take care of all that for you, take your fees, and they take cash, check, or charge card.
So you go down to City Hall, second floor, and that's where you renew your fire or burglar alarm permit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Sure.
All right. Appreciate it. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Lynn in Weatherford. Hello, Lynn.
Yes.
Yes, go right ahead.
I had an answer for the gentleman who is inquiring about making a left turn.
Yeah.
First, he should check with his insurance carrier, but he can guarantee pretty much if he's making a left turn and there's an incident, he's going to be held at fault.
Why is that?
Because you're not supposed to turn unless the intersection is safe.
Very good. All right, Lynn, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
All right. 800-933-5372. Time for a few more calls, a few more emails as well. Or you know what? Let's try this Twitter out. You can tweet me at Jeff Whittington on the Twitter. Let's see. We got an email from Joe who says, for your listener asking about alarm monitoring permits, go to the City of Dallas website, click on the resident tab, and there is a security alarm monitoring tab on that page. She can download the form, complete it, and pay the $50 fee to renew or initiate the process. So there you go. City of Dallas website, click on the resident tab, and then click on the security alarm monitoring tab on that page. I figured somebody would give us the roadmap to online accomplishment of this task. Let's see. You got a question from Nicholas. Does anyone have any information about the JDC apartment project near the new State Farm buildings at George Bush and 75? He says some websites state that above retail apartments will be available starting in August 2015, but it's unclear if they'll be ready by then or if they have been delayed. Does anybody know about those apartments near the new State Farm buildings? 800-933-5372. Let's go back to the phone and talk to Nicole calling from Dallas. Hello, Nicole.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
This is for your caller speaking about spending some time in Rome.
Yeah.
For private tours of the Vatican, they range 200 to 400 euros. That's a very, very nice tour. But if she's in Rome on a Wednesday and she goes to the Vatican website, she can get free papal tickets to see the Pope speak. And they're perfectly free, and it's a 2 or 3 hour event.
And you do it on the Vatican website?
On the Vatican website. If she goes to a local travel agent, though, like a brick and mortar, she can sit down and talk to someone that can basically get her a private driver to do whatever she wants in Rome for about 60 euros an hour.
And she's on a tour, so she might even be able to talk to the tour guide about, hey, we've got this downtime. What's a super secret thing that we should check out? And don't tell everybody else on the bus.
Yeah, but she can just get a private driver for 60 euros and they'll take her all over Rome.
Great. That's a great suggestion. Thanks so much for calling.
Great. Thanks.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Let's see. We got another audio repair question. And this is from Graham in Cleburne, who says, I'm looking for a good repair facility in the Cleburne, Burleson, Fort Worth area that works on vintage radio and audio equipment. He says, I have a vintage acoustic research tuner amplifier. It's got a problem with the volume control. Does anybody know anybody that works on that stuff out that way? Cleburne, Burleson, Fort Worth. Probably not going to get an answer this week, but maybe next week. And we do have an answer, actually, on the phone here from Claudia in Colleyville. Hello, Claudia.
Well, hello.
Hi there.
I've got an answer for the question about overwintering oak trees grown from acorns in pots. Yes, it is certainly possible. I've been doing it for about 20 years. The trees are dormant during the winter, so you don't have to worry about the cold temperatures damaging the roots because the roots are not actively metabolizing in the first place. So they will, oak trees grown from acorns will positively survive the winter in pots.
Do you put them in the garage or in a shed, or you just leave them outside?
Leave them outside.
And how do you, is there a trick to getting the tree to actually germinate from an acorn? And the reason I ask is here at the station, we've got these really cool poster water oak trees with these giant acorns. And I've always thought, how cool would it be to take one of these acorns and grow a tree out of it? What's the trick?
Those are probably bur oaks.
Bur oaks,
if they're the size of a small hen's egg.
Yes.
Huge, gigantic.
Yeah.
Bur oaks have got oaks a lot. Now, this is not any research that I've done. I got this from the Texas Agricultural Extension agent, Dottie Woodson. But if you really want to germinate those acorns, put them in the microwave for about 10 seconds, and the acorn has a micropylar end. That's the end that's not real solid. You know, you can tell there's an upside and a downside. So germinate the, put the acorn horizontal to the soil surface. Not
right, right. So it doesn't have to turn the whole corner to get out of the soil.
I'm sorry, do what?
Right, so that as it grows, it can just come.
If you ever dig one up, you will see that the long axis of the stem and the root, the acorn is perpendicular to that long axis anyway, if you dig it up out of the ground.
Hey, Claudia, we've got like 12 seconds left. Let me put you on hold, and let me say goodbye to the folks.
All right.
It is anything you ever wanted to know. Thanks to Stephen Becker, Shelley Canavy, Fiona Norton, Christine McConnell. Tune in next week. Maybe we'll know. Maybe I'll figure out how to do this acorn thing. Thanks for listening.